The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
News Talk's technology correspondent Jess Kelly is with us now. Jess, this week's TLDR?
We are focusing on a line that's come out of some of the big tech companies in the last little while. And that is that the EU is ruining the innovation buzz in Europe. They're not using that exact term, but over the last wee while, there's been a lot of conversations around different bits of legislation that have come into play in Europe. Things like the Digital Markets Act, the EU AI Act, there's a whole host of stuff that's come into play, which is great for us, the consumer. But big tech companies are now saying that it's getting in the way of innovation. The latest to add to this list is Apple, who are saying that they are not going to be able to roll out Apple AI entirely to its devices within Europe as a result of EU legislation.
Does this weirdly mean that the European bureaucracy and Elon Musk are ad inim? Because Elon Musk has said that if Apple makes its AI part of the iOS, he won't allow their devices in any of his factories.
Yeah. Now, again, I'd always question his thoughts and feelings around it. The day that Tim Cook unveiled and did the presentation about Apple AI, which is just them using AI, he did express concerns around privacy, because a key function, for those who didn't watch the presentation, a key aspect of Apple AI is that you'll be able to say to Siri on your phone, what time did Jess say she'll meet me and where are we going to? And it'll scan through your texts and emails, the conversations that we've had, and it'll say, well, you're going to meet at Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in Dublin at 6 o'clock and you're going to a restaurant just off Grafton Street. Here's the directions, which is going to be super handy. But you can understand why some people would be a little bit freaked out by it from a privacy point of view. Now, Apple is one of the companies that has always sort of bashed the table around privacy, and they've said that privacy is built into the DNA of the company. Like, they had their ecosystem locked down to the point where it used to be a pain in the face if you were a consumer trying to do anything with an Apple device outside the Apple ecosystem. But this line of Europe getting in the way of innovation is something that I'm hearing quite a bit. I was at the Docu Bookfest a few weeks ago, and Des Trainer from Intercom, you know, said something similar, you know, that we have to be careful that Europeans aren't left behind as a result of...
But there again, I mean, Europe getting in the way of innovation. Europe got in the way of innovation in respect of things like genetically modified organisms and their use in the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
They have remained in the way of that innovation for 10 or 20 years. And there are probably a lot of Europeans who would say, we're quite happy for that innovation not to arrive.
Yeah, it's something that I feel slightly torn about, because I'm obviously a tech fan and I get so excited when there's a new innovation or there's talk of a new innovation. But I've also spent my 15 or 16 year career talking about the impact of social media and how, you know, legislation and policing and ramifications for the misuse and abuse of personal data and individuals online, you know, needs to be managed. We have heard that AI is going to transform humanity. It's going to shake everything up. We may never have to think again because it'll do it for us. That's a scary prospect. And I think if we have to crawl before we can run, is that really a bad thing? Personally speaking, I don't think so.
On another privacy-related issue, WhatsApp and whether or not messages will be held forever and ever and who can access them.
Yeah, this is something that intrigues me greatly. So the GCHQ in the UK, sort of the spy division of the security services over there, advised earlier this year that those in government should use disappearing messages on WhatsApp. Do you use disappearing messages on WhatsApp?
I don't use WhatsApp.
What do you use? A carrier pigeon?
I use iMessages and that's it. I don't trust WhatsApp as far as I could throw it.
Wow. Okay, let's delve into that at some other stage. But for those of you who do use WhatsApp, you'll know that you can search your archive. I use it all the time. You know, if I text somebody my PPS number, my boyfriend now, when I need my PPS number or my IBAN number, rather than going to my bank statements or anything like that, I'll just go into my WhatsApp, search my chat with him, and everything is there. Super safe and secure. But GCHQ, the people who would know these things, have advised that people use disappearing messages. While that is good advice, because it means that, you know, archived messages aren't being stored forever, if you're someone like me who, again, can't think without their phone, what do you do? If you've never tampered with or gotten into this, if you go to settings on your WhatsApp, go to privacy and then enable the default message timer, and you can set messages to delete after a day or after 7 days or after 30 days. I don't think I'm brave enough to do it, because what, like...
What does that mean, though, in terms of the actual complete deletion of the message? Does it remain on Meta servers forever and ever, even if you can't access it?
There will be footprints. So there will be sort of notifications that my phone, my WhatsApp account sent something to your non-existent WhatsApp account. But WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted as it is. So it's not like those messages are stored up in the cloud. Once they are deleted from with this automatic timer, the content is deleted from the two places where they are encrypted on, which is my phone and your phone. So traces of the content of the message is gone forever. However, you can screenshot. So just be mindful of that.
Your tech rec for this week.
It's specially for you. I don't know if you've dabbled in this yet.
I have.
On Netflix, Depp v. Heard. This is the case that I think you and I... Like every day when you came in, when the case was on, we got nothing else done because we were just talking through the hours.
It was amazing.
But I watched every millisecond of that trial. And then I've watched this documentary. So it's a multi-part series on Netflix. It is fascinating because you are hearing, you're seeing some of the evidence again, but then you're also hearing the analysis. So I remember you wrote a brilliant piece for the Business Post in the aftermath. I've read pretty much everything that's ever been written about this trial because I just find the different dynamics that were at play, the media spin, the way it was analysed and dissected on social media. I was talking on Lunchtime Live a few weeks ago about a podcast about it as well called Who Trolled Amber? I don't know if you've heard it, but it's looking at the coordinated attacks that took place on social media of Amber Heard. So if you are interested in it from a salacious gossip point of view, from a media point of view, from a legal point of view, this multi-part doc on Netflix is definitely worth your time.
Is it a bit depressing? Because at the heart of that trial, particularly when you get into the additional extraneous stuff that may not have actually showed up as evidence in court, but an awful lot of the video recordings, an awful lot of the incidents between them, it is just such a bleak journey through an utterly dysfunctional and damaging relationship. Is it a hard watch?
It is a hard watch. There's no denying it's a hard watch. But I do think I was intrigued, like from a media point of view and from a digestion point of view, a cultural digestion point of view. That's where I was interested. I did find some of the content quite upsetting. I don't think anybody came away from that case looking good. Or, you know, going, geez, maybe I'll go back and rewatch their back catalogue or anything like that. But I do think it's one of the most high profile celebrity trials in recent memory, and or in my recent memory anyway. And I just find it so interesting that, you know, the Johnny Depp's legal team became celebrities and were going around doing Good Morning America interviews and all the rest. You just get really good insight into the circus surrounding what is ultimately a very sad domestic issue.
Jess, as ever, thank you very much. That is Jess Kelly, News Talk's technology correspondent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.